Well, hello. It is Thursday of Super Bowl week. Tomorrow is maybe going to be the best show ever. Super Bowl breakdown, and I can't wait to really dig in. Tomorrow is a can't-miss show. Today's not going to be so shabby. By the way, I'm Matt Williamson. This is a Locked On NFL podcast. I am Matt Williamson, NFL. I urge you to check out Locked On Eagles, Locked On Patriots, Locked On NFL Draft, the entire Locked On Network, as well as the Locked On NBA stuff. If you're into that, I personally am not, but I have great respect for those guys. But the Eagles, Patriots, draft guys are killing it this week, and I urge you to check that out a great deal. We are brought to you by MyBookie, and MyBookie has been with the Locked On crew here for quite a while. And tomorrow I will go to MyBookie.ag and check out their line and pick a game straight up and against the spread. And I urge you to do the same. MyBookie has been a great friend of the Locked On Network for quite some time now, like I said. And heck, I mean, usually I take, today's Twitter Thursday, usually I take a Twitter question or two, and then I read all about MyBookie and tell you all about MyBookie. But I'm just going to do it right off the bat this time. How about that? We're going to change it up a little bit. I'm feeling crazy. So, Super Bowl season is here, and it is the most bet on game year after year after year. So now is your chance to go to mybookie.ag. Sign up at mybookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs. You can even deposit using Bitcoin. All right. Where you bet is just as important as who you're betting on, and if you want to make money betting on this big Super Bowl game, you got to go to mybookie.ag. That's the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out yourself. They have odds on every matchup, as well as live betting all this season and next season, and NFL and Super Bowl and NHL and NBA and everything you'd ever want to bet on is all there at MyBookie. So, if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit with up to 50% bonus. Folks, that's free money. Use our promo code LOCKEDON, and that activates the offer for that free money. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. If you're going to bet, the only place to do it is at mybookie.ag. So, do me a favor and get on that immediately, if not sooner. Like I said, today is Twitter Thursday, so let me dig into my timeline at Williamson NFL here and find some fantastic questions for y'all. Okay, Stephen Bounds asks, is Dontari Poe worth a large long-term contract by some team this offseason? It's a good question. He was a free agent a year ago, didn't get that offer that he wanted. Signed a one-year deal with Falcons. Had a pretty good year. I think the Falcons, this isn't what you asked, but if the Falcons do let him go, should address a 320-pound nose tackle type guy in the draft or free agency. I think they need to have that guy. I mean, just kind of the yin to the yang in terms of being a fast, free-flow defense. You got to have one beast in there. I like Poe. I think he's more than just a space eater. He's not just a pure nose tackle, two-gapping, just hold-the-point guy, Will Fork type. And frankly, he's not quite as good as the Will Fork Hamptons at that, but that's fine. He has some pass rush to him. He's played a ton of snaps over his career, especially for somebody that you would think is just a two-down goof, you know, a big run-stopping type. And the Falcons rotate their linemen, don't get me wrong, but the Chiefs, he played basically every snap. And his history shows that some of these dudes that have this mold have long, productive careers because they kind of learn the tricks of the trade and they can just become anvils in the middle of the line. But that would worry me a little with Poe. You know, if you're paying him thinking you're going to keep getting pass rush out of him over the course of a long-term deal, I would be hesitant. If you're paying him thinking he's Snacks Harrison for a long-term deal, I would be hesitant. And I think that's what teams thought of him a year ago when he was on the open market. That certainly is not to say that he doesn't have value. I mean, I think just about every team in the league would love to have Don Terry Poe. But my hunch is Don Terry Poe thinks he's more valuable than he really is. You know, that in terms of, am I going to sign him to a four-year deal with massive money? I don't know about that. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he signs another one-year deal, or Atlanta signs him to a two-year deal or something like that. Interesting. I mean, he'll be a case study there for sure. Niners AOS. Thoughts on Sammy Watkins being one of the most overrated players in the league? Realistically, what has he done in his career? Barely broke 1,000 yards in 2015. Just once. I understand that. And I loved him coming out of school. It's a great receiver class that he came out with. That's kind of irrelevant at this point. He, too, is going to be a free agent. I get that. And I know his numbers haven't been great. I know he's been derailed by injuries a lot. And I think that's why Buffalo decided, let's get something for him now. We're not going to put long-term money into him. He's been out for far too much. So we'll get some draft picks. And I know he wasn't even the number one receiver with the Rams. But assuming my doctors like him and don't think, boy, he's got this injury that's just always going to hold him back and occur. And did he miss any time this year? I don't think. Here's my thoughts on Watkins. I'm all in on the guy still. And maybe I just can't quit him. I mean, I think he's a great player, a number one receiver. And the stats don't show that. But there have been stretches, and not just a game or two, where he's been one of the best receivers in the league. And here's why I feel that strongly about him still at 5:32 p.m. Thursday, February 1st, is when you watch the Rams tape, and you really have to watch the All-22 in order to, you know, come up with this, he still looks great. They just don't treat him as a target monster. And that's part of just the way that this offense is apparently designed. Kupp, Woods, Gurley, Watkins are all going to get theirs. But a lot of times Watkins is on the backside of the play design and still getting a lot of attention and still has a big role. My thoughts are the Rams would probably love to have him back. And it looks like you're a Niners fan. I think you're Niners with a similar style offense would love to have him opposite Garcon and feature him more, or Dallas or the Bears. I think there's a lot of highly productive years of Sammy Watkins being a difference maker in store. And this is going to be kind of his low point in terms of, you know, what his esteemed value is across fandom. I still think he's a really, really good player. And certainly injuries could derail him and he could never reach the heights that I'm projecting for him here. But I think I would take a chance if my doctors liked him, and I would love, if I were the Bears right now, I'd love to have Sammy Watkins. John James Wilkin asked, who do you think is most likely to be the QB in Arizona? Tyrod? ? I think he'd work well with Johnson. Yeah, him and David Johnson together would certainly be exciting. They are running out of options. Well, I mean, the only thing that's changed is they didn't get Cousins. I mean, so they have zero on their roster right now. They still have options. I mean, there's going to be a lot of quarterback movement. I hate to say this, but if I were Cousins, I know that ship sailed. Or Alex Smith, and that ship sailed. Well, who did I say? I said they lost out on Cousins. They lost out on Alex Smith. That's the only guy they've missed out on so far. Not Cousins. They still could be in the Cousins market. But if I'm Cousins, I understand the history of these franchises are very different, but I'd rather go to Cleveland than Arizona. I mean, I think Arizona's offense has a chance to be bottom five next year, maybe the worst in the league. I mean, and I feel for David Johnson. I almost feel like Arizona is going to be a little bit of a wasteland for a while, certainly like a fantasy wasteland for a while. And this sounds rude to talk about Tyrod Taylor this way, but I think the league perceives Taylor that he's not going to be really high on anyone's wish list. He's going to be a consolation prize. So, yeah, maybe that's where they both end up, kind of by default, at a contract that isn't crazy high. And then they draft someone first, second round, possibly. We'll see. But I don't think that answer is one that Cardinal fans are going to love in the end. Stephen Bounds asked, will/should the Patriots make a significant investment in a new starting running back in the upcoming offseason? For those that aren't aware, Deion Lewis, I think, is 30 years old. He had a really good year. And is a free agent. They still have White. They still have Burkhead. I think they signed Burkhead to a 2-year deal last year. So I don't think he's going anywhere. And White is a niche player. Gillislee's been kind of a flop. My short answer is no. My short answer is, the longer answer is, I'm not saying you should just go in with Burkhead and White. Absolutely not. But I also don't think that you're going to spend big money there is kind of what you're investing. Make a significant investment is what you were asking me. No, I think you kind of, you don't get scraps, but you get cheaper dudes. Crowell, someone like that. Maybe Hyde. I mean, those guys might be considered significant investments. But here's the key is, and this will kind of cut into tomorrow's preview, but let's just talk about this as a Patriot way of doing thing that has worked out so, so well. They want this at all positions, at tight end and wide receiver and running back. They want all shapes and sizes. There's a couple reasons for that is, like LeGarrette Blount and James White, it's funny to me that they both walk in the running back meeting room together. They couldn't be any more different in terms of what they are as players and how you attack offenses with them. But it's much like Belichick early in his career. Remember the defenses Belichick had back then with Vrabel and McGinnis and all those type of dudes, Brewski. He wanted smart. And he wanted versatile, and he wanted guys that could do a lot of things and knew their job, and he could adjust week to week. Well, the same thing's true on offense now, that whoever the defense is and he's preparing for, in this case Philly, he wants to be able to attack their weaknesses because he's got so much variety at receiver and tight end, and that's Gronk provides that no matter what because he can do it all. And running back, that this isn't going to be a Blount-type game. I know Blount plays for Philly, but they usually have the pounder. Gillislee's been kind of washed out. This is going to be more of a White game than a Lewis game. This is going to be more of a Burkhead game. And I do think they would be in the offseason looking for a Blount replacement. And if things don't go well, the first quarter you're down 14-0. Then you can switch and say, let's make this more of a White game, or let's lean on Lewis more, or we have a different style running back. What we thought would work throughout the week hasn't. And of course, Brady is absolutely gigantic in this sense, in that he can adjust play to play, or when you come to the line of scrimmage, he motions somebody out, and they always have a fullback involved, in this case, Devlin, who's a pounder, but you'll see them motion Devlin out wide to a wide receiver position. Why do they do that? Well, if a cornerback is then aligned over Devlin out wide, Brady knows it's zone. If a big heavy linebacker follows Devlin out, Brady knows it's man. And let's just say that the plan was, when you leave the huddle, to snap the ball and have Devlin block a big heavy middle linebacker type. And instead, he splits him out wide. Well, he basically blocked him without blocking him. You take him out of the box. If you get a corner on Devlin, well, you're not going to throw Devlin the ball, but you've learned a lot of things, and now you have that corner guarding your worst receiver instead of Brandon Cooks or Edelman or Amendola or Welker or Hernandez or Gronk or James White or all the different guys they've had throughout the year. So, I mean, that's one example. The other thing to look at, and I planned on kind of talking about this tomorrow, but I just want to talk about today because it kind of rolls into all this. And the answer to your question, your short question here, Steven, is no, I think they would rather have quantity instead of quality. I don't think they want Lev Bell or David Johnson. Of course they'd love to have him. If they drafted Bell in the second round or Johnson in the third or fourth, they would be doing cartwheels, and wow, they'd be unbelievably good, and they would use them to a Gronk level. But they're not going to invest in those guys. Instead, they're going to invest in four quality dudes as opposed to one stud. And here goes back to some other thing to think about. Generally speaking, defenses say, if you're in 21 personnel, 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 13 personnel, this is the group that we're going to put on the field. Maybe you don't know exactly what that is. The first number, when I say 11 personnel, the first number is the running back. The second number is the tight end. So, 11 personnel, one running back, one tight end, therefore three receivers. 21 personnel, two running backs in the backfield, generally a running back and a fullback, one tight end. But, going back to my original point, is Aaron Hernandez a tight end or a wide receiver? Is James White a running back or a wide receiver? If you come out in 21 personnel, people think that's base. You know, old school, that's pro set, a running back, a fullback, Gronk, two wide receivers. Okay. And the Eagles counter that with their base. Okay, first play of the game, Patriots come out with Lewis, Devlin, Gronk, two receivers. And immediately you see that the Eagles are going to play their base 4-3 against that. Okay, so now you pretty much know that. So in the third quarter, if I trot those guys out, I'll probably get the base 4-3. But let's say the next play, I replace Devlin with White. So I have Lewis, White, Gronk. That's still 21 personnel, right? Do the Eagles still count that the same? If they do, and I have the Eagles 4-3, you're going to see Brady go empty, or maybe with Lewis as a sidecar, and you're going to get White or Gronk on a linebacker for sure. And then he's going to go up-tempo and not let you change. He's not going to let you get out of that. He's going to go hurry up immediately like a master, and somewhere he's going to have a matchup he loves. That's just a small example. I mean, that was a huge problem with the Hernandez-Gronk guys. That, okay, you're going, our personnel is 12 personnel. A running back, whoever your running back was back then. Gronk, Hernandez, two receivers. Well, okay. We see that the defense treats that as our base personnel. And 21 and 12 are basically base personnel, for those of you who don't know. Okay, they treat us as base personnel. Well, Hernandez, you're now a wide receiver to us. You know, Brady splits you out wide, basically does what I said with White. Or you come out on first and 10, the first play of the game, in 12 personnel with Hernandez and Gronk and a running back, and you see nickel. Well, Aaron, you're blocking. Gronk, you're certainly blocking. And I'm going to hand the ball to Corey Dillon, Blunt, Gillislee, and attack a lighter defense. I mean, in a way, there's no answer. And we've seen the Eagles play a lot more. They played a lot more big nickel. And that's what teams are doing. They get three safeties on the field. So they sort of split the difference between base and, you know, a nickel. We've also seen them go, and something the Eagles have done a lot more lately, is they're playing more dime as opposed to nickel. You know, they're playing three safeties, three corners, whenever the Patriots go to 11 personnel with three receivers on the field. So all those things are really, really interesting, and having Brady is the biggest advantage of all with all those things. You know, that if Brady and Gronk are always on the field and all those other pieces are moving around, and you start to find this is how they count our personnel. That, okay, they're adjusting to White differently than they would Gillislee or a Blunt. You know what I mean? Or they don't count Devlin the same as Burkhead. But this is how they count them. that now we know and we've gathered all that information in the first quarter. And, oh, by the way, I'm not even mentioning, I'm just talking personnel. I'm not even mentioning the loads and loads of formations that Brady and McDaniels and this offense throw at everyone, and that's just further data. I mean, McDaniels and his cohorts, of course, the running back coach, the wide receiver coach, is scribbling down exactly how Philly reacts to this motion, this set out of this personnel grouping matched with all the things I told you. And then, like we saw with Jacksonville, you know, and like you see so often from Brady, then they get a bead on you and they find that weakness where if we pull out this formation and this personnel grouping, we're pretty sure the Eagles are going to give us this and we like this and we're going to attack without relent and we're going to go up tempo and not let you get off the field. So in a way, that's the beauty of the Patriots. That's the beauty of let's not spend a ton of money on Le'Veon Bell or fifth overall pick on Ezekiel Elliott. Let's just have a plethora of running backs that all do different stuff. That's why. And it certainly works. So that obviously leads us into tomorrow and breaking down the game. And I'm not going to give you that spiel again. Give me some feedback, what you thought of that. I thought that was pretty well said by me, to be honest with you. And there'll be so many other things to lead in from the Super Bowl preview, but that's just one reason, and a massive one, of the beauty of Brady and building around him and his ability to adjust at the line of scrimmage and throughout the game because they have built around the superstar quarterback. Very smart. There you have it. All right, guys, spread the word about the Locked On Network. Over and out.